Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Special guest today on Lulz, none other than Awesomeo, aka Alex Baker, makes his return to the program. We'll catch up with him, see what he's been up to, maybe even start another DFS beef. We even have some interesting happenings in the professional table tennis world that we know Alex is well equipped to weigh in on. This is Lulz with Pete and Brick. Let's do it.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no. Let the DFS cats pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
All right. It is Lulz Thursday afternoon. Brian Hooper and none other than Alex Baker. It's been a while since we've done a show, but one of your hallmarks, Alex, is I feel like you always broadcast from a different location. And I feel like you have done that once again. I don't recognize this even with the blurred background.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me in the show. Nothing too special here. This is my new home. So I moved around a little bit in the last few years. I'm just lucky to be on the show so many times, really, and I'm hoping maybe today I can set the record for most appearances with minus millionaire maker wins, so like the biggest deficit between appearances and Millie maker wins.
Yeah, because someone could go back in the archives. This has to be what, like your fifth or sixth time on the show?
I don't know, yeah.
Yeah, and there's been at least one removed that he was on.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That one must have been dramatic.
Well, as people COVID know, era. Alex is kind of a loose cannon. He'll sometimes say things that could potentially get me canceled, and then I have to kind of go and scrub the internet after the fact. So just be careful today, Alex.
Okay. It wasn't Alex. Are you representing the Chicago Sky? I'm guessing.
You know it. Yep. The team, I don't think they're going to be that good this year, but, you know, it's been a rough few years. I've been I'm a Pistons fan and a Sky fan. I'm just lucky my wife went to Purdue because that's been the one basketball team that I've been rooting for that's done well.
At least you didn't bandwagon over to the Indiana Fever, so I respect you sticking with this guy.
I might soon if last night's game was any indication.
Are you playing any WNBA DFS right now, Alex?
I haven't yet. I haven't set my model up yet, but I'm hoping to once I have a little bit of time. I totally would have played the opening nights, but I had to take a week off of DFS for a wedding, so it wasn't great timing when the season started.
Wow.
The tweet you sent out looks like it's not great for WNBA DFS in general. I couldn't tell either if WNBA was on that list at all.
It's brutal. Like DraftKings just hides it like under this NBA banner. Like if you click on NBA today on their desktop website, it's like you don't even see any WNBA things. So I'm hoping that someone at DraftKings realizes they need to give them their own tab.
Yeah, let me pull this up here. I now just see this tweet that you're referencing here. Let me see if I can get this up. Yeah, so what this is, NBA, and they just tacked it on. Wait, I don't even see it. What am
I even doing? Yeah, it's under Showdown Captain Mode. So you have to like know to click NBA and Showdown to find WNBA.
Jeez, that's not very intuitive.
Yeah,
they were getting some pretty good prize pools for those over the years, surprisingly. So I don't know. Maybe what's have you been looking like? What's kind of a good prize pool this year?
I think they lowballed the first slate. Tomorrow might be the best indication because tonight's just one game. So we'll see. I'm hoping they can get some 50K prize pools maybe.
They're getting more conservative. You figure any night where Caitlin Clark is playing, they take some risks, but yeah, they're not doing a ton of that these days, you know?
For sure, yeah. And on the sportsbook side, they could up their game too. I couldn't even find any live player props. What is this? The Stone Age?
What has your DFS play been like? You just said you were traveling for some weddings and stuff. Have you? Are you not as deep into the DFS streets as you used to be?
Not quite as much. It's like being a dad of a 7-month-old. Dude, he takes up a lot of my time and stuff like NBA. It's just a lot to keep up with. So I'm trying to focus my energy on more limited number of things, but do them at a high level. So I've been doing like PGA a lot, NBA Showdown I've been doing, NFL, but not like nearly as much as I used to.
It's nearly impossible to keep that pace. That's honestly probably the number one, because there's I saw some thread about like how good Mock Lovin is and Udicao the other day, and it's like, well, first of all, these guys are all better than you, but Mock Lovin gets ranked so high because he has so much volume. It's like, yeah, well, that's pretty impressive still, you know, like that these guys are doing that for this long and putting in, you know, that much time and effort into just even like registering and putting in decent stuff is not easy, especially these days. So it's the ranking system is all, you know, basically volume on Roto Grinders. So I think a lot of guys are doing kind of what Alex is doing, you know, specialize a little bit more. How much Xander did you have?
Like half my lineups have Xander, so I'm liking the results so far. It looks like downside of me's shark slams have all been going off. So I don't know if there's a lot of people.
Not Adam Scott. Those.
Yeah, so like if people just jam the shark slams this week, we might have some stiff competition.
He's going to have to sweat out Adam Scott.
Yeah. But, I mean, 4 out of 5 are doing well, and that's probably enough, like, unless people just jammed all 5 of them in every single lineup.
How much would you say of kind of, like, scaling back DFS, like, how much of it is just being a dad now? How much of it is just wanting in general to scale back your responsibilities or DFS not being quite as, you know, I don't know, intellectually stimulating and fun for you as it used to be? Like, where on that spectrum is that coming from?
Yeah, I still think it's really fun. I think that certain game types are like pretty tough to beat. So that makes it so it's like I'm kind of looking for the intersection of profitability, fun, and ease of keeping up with it. So certain things are a lot tougher to win at these days. So I've been trying to scale back on those.
Yeah. Have you appreciated, like, I feel as someone maybe similar in that we both do a ton of stuff and then having a kid and then trying to navigate that landscape. I mean, you used to do so much on the site with so many projections, so many sports, like how much did your kind of schedule change because of the kid? How has that, you know, adapting been?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty much a full-time dad the first 6 months. After 6 months, son got a nanny, so I've had more time. That was a month ago, so I haven't had a ton of time to really build back on my stuff, but I've been taking advantage of that time to get more into DFS again.
Yeah. Then it's nice because you can settle in and have a breather. But now you're probably in that stage that I'm at too, where you have some time during the week, but now the weekends are like that's where there's no more time anymore.
Oh yeah, I mean there's not a lot of time to go around. It's like if you're an entrepreneur like us, it's like if you're not immersed in that world, like thinking about it all week, it's tough to get ahead. So I think that's the really tough part about being a parent, and then kind of realizing that my capabilities aren't quite as much as they used to be.
Does your wife work full time?
Oh,
she does, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I was going to say, you said entrepreneur. Did you see Brian's new site? Do you have any words of advice for Brian as a DFS entrepreneur with a new site?
Looking forward to seeing what you come up with for sure. Syndicate is a pretty bold term to use to rock, but we'll see what people think of that. I know DraftKings in their rules specifically say like syndicates are not allowed. So
I'm actually, people are surprisingly liking the name so far. So far, dude, positive feedback. Picking names is so weird. I also like, you don't want to get like flagged in Google search, you know, for like, you know, drugs or bad thing, you know, bad things and stuff like that too. So,
I mean,
I don't think it matters a ton for us, honestly. Like, we're probably going to be like, everyone who knows us is going to know us, like especially for the first couple months. And I don't think it's going to be like, you know, like a weekly, you know, daily pass or weekly bet, none of that stuff type of website. Probably no deals for a long time, if ever. So, I didn't think the name mattered that much.
I mean, it's a great name if you want to branch out into other kind of mob related activities, like owning casinos or like
the ChatGPT. I was using ChatGPT for like logo ideas, and it really thought we were a chess company.
Wow. Yeah, I mean,
and the end game, I guess, in chess.
Brian's first idea was they were going to just be called the DFS Murderers, and that they thought was going to be a little problematic.
The baby murderers.
The baby murderers.
He's like, I don't think so. I'm like, all right, I guess.
Yeah.
To each their own.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or as Paul says, you guys are a syndicate. There's some you can use right there.
Yeah, no. Sims are probably never going to happen on our site. We if we did something, we'd do something different. But yeah, the sim market is pretty saturated right now, boys, and a lot of work.
Well, speaking of which, Consigliere here asking for Alex, like, what's your reaction with Saber Sims, other sim competitors? What is your kind of view of the overall sim landscape right now? Obviously, Stochastic has its product, but Sims very much more in vogue than probably even the last time we talked on this show.
I'm pretty out of tune with what's going on in the industry, to be honest. So I haven't really thought about it a ton, but I know there's a lot of innovation in the industry. So,
yeah. Yeah, I guess if you've been out of, you know, dad life for 7 months, it's probably been right around. Yeah, it's probably been right. Like the last, has it even been a year, Pete?
Well, I think it wasn't it around this time last year? Like we had Ricky D on, like probably around this time when we had that kind of show about, you know, the death of DFS, is DFS dying? And then we had all those subsequent like sim conversations over the course of the summer and early fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think like the site started rolling them out less than a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause I don't think at this time last year, I don't think ETR had the solver out. When did Stochastic launch? It's sim.
I want to say our first sim was MLB. So
okay.
Over the summer. Or wait, maybe it was NBA Showdown. Anyway.
No, I think it was NBA, yeah.
Yeah, NBA, okay. Kind of end of season. So it must have been about
Yeah.
Yeah, our well, if we do anything, it's going to be based on the videos we make. You know, whatever specifically our videos will be, will then be like tools based off of those.
Yeah.
So there'll be most likely no contest sims or anything like that. Oh, well, there might be some like a different version. We won't do contest sims, but like something more game theory based.
I was kind of shocked that you're working with Yoda Cow, because like every time he goes on a podcast, I feel like he's unwilling to divulge anything of value. So,
well, the funny thing is that I then like kind of became friends with him, online, and we would talk strategy and, you know, have like talk over Zoom and stuff before the baseball season, see if there's like anything, just strategy talk. And I would show him my sims and, you know, we were thinking about redoing my sims for like how he plays and stuff like that. And he literally like he does play that way. Like he does it all. So like, for example, there was a baseball thing he wants to adjust for. He just saw some new like stat and he wanted me to like get the data for him. And I'm like, sure. I'm like, you know, but how do you want to do this? So like the way I would do it, right, is like I would put it in a regression of some kind, linear, nonlinear, see what it looks like and see how accurate it would be. And he goes, you know, and I'm like, so do you want to do it? Like he goes, no, I know it's right already. So just get it. So he doesn't test it, you know, he doesn't test it or do anything like that. And so like, if you have the sims in your head, like he does, you don't have to. I would still, you know, like test it and see how I would, you know, what does it say I should adjust X, Y, or Z, probably projections, you know? But yeah, that's literally how he plays. And then he just makes all these adjustments based on knowing ball and watching. And so like his videos would be, you know, like reviewing his slate and then saying, this, you know, this pitcher was a ground ball pitcher for, you know, I'm just making this up on the fly here. I won't do it. I won't be doing videos like that or reviewing other, you know, reviewing someone's, you know, 150 set, a member's 150 set and telling them what he thinks. Kind of more like kind of how the old poker videos were. Poker videos weren't solvers. You know, they weren't, you know, this is, you do this 13% of the time, this 30 back in the day, they were like, I feel like he's bluffing here. Call, you know what I mean? And like, you know, I feel like you should raise, you know, from this position a lot more with this type of hand, you know? I guess they did have poker, like hand charts, raising hand charts and stuff back then. But yeah, that'll be his. And I think that makes a lot of sense because me and Dan Nerdy Tender are not like that, right? We're the farthest thing from that. So it's a good mix, I think.
Do you know what would be fun content idea for you guys, Brian? Like if you're not going to have, you know, your own sim stuff, I think one thing that's often hard for people, and there's the disconnect of like, I understand that a sim is helpful, but I still don't necessarily know how to navigate it. Or I see someone else using the same sim as me, and they're getting different results or they're using it in a different way. Like a fun content idea for you guys too. Like you could even pair with these other sim sites and products. And it's like Brian's tutorial on how to use the stochastic sim or how Brian uses the, or how you would use the Saber sim. Like I bet people would find that really interesting.
So yeah. That's what Adam's probably going to do how he does that. I might do a few videos for that, but I already have a bunch of ideas lined up
from all
stat nerd stuff that I want to, that I think would be useful, kind of like if you wanted to start, do your own projections or do your own ownership or start your own content site. Like this is, I won't be saying like how to do content. I'll be saying like, you know, this is how you do it from the bottom up. Like a lot of people don't even know how to do like regression in Excel, like what it means, or what the outputs mean, stuff like that. And that'll be a small percentage of people who are even interested in that. But like, if you have like a bunch of videos, you know, there'll be enough for every type of, you know, ball knower and nerd, you know, stat nerd or Simbro or whatever. But yeah, you're right. We've talked about that idea, and that'll be on there for sure. And that, and maybe we will partner up, you know, with one of the content sites too. That's still in the cards. We just kind of want to just get launched and see if there's any interest first.
Yeah. Just let the world know that there's this mafia syndicate roaming the DFS streets and they need to cower in fear.
The murderers, bro. How about that? Is that Google friendly?
There you go. Is anything else catching your eye right now, Alex, in the space, either new contests, things you're interested in, pick six, best ball, like where is your mind gravitating to right now?
Yeah, pick six I'm interested in, but we don't have it in Illinois, so I can't really.
Yeah, we do, don't we?
Last time I tried, it doesn't.
The ad's right there.
It doesn't allow you to play here.
I swear it did.
No, I don't know how you're doing it. Who do you know?
My VPN.
When you're in the syndicate, Alex, there are no rules.
Are you having a beard enter your pick six?
I sent an email. Don't fuck with the syndicate. Keep it up.
Although, honestly, I'm not like super worried about anything new coming up. I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, all right, these new things are happening, but DFS is where it's at. So best ball, I think, is fun. I might update my NFL model to be able to come up with some stuff for that. But it's it just takes too much time to really see as a potential like revenue generator for me. So I'm not. I think NFTs, that might be an area where I get more interest involved in, because I feel
I
like
a sharp pain run through my body.
I feel like the way you get big success is you have to like get in at the bottom and ride the wave up, and that's how I felt like I was successful in DFS. And right now NFTs are kind of a bottom, especially like the sports ones. So I just see opportunity in that.
Yeah. Maybe I think it's like AI would be something, but like what can you do besides, you know, like Papa Gates' deal? You know, I don't know. I have like no ideas on it, but I feel like that's clearly popping off.
Yeah, I mean, that was so funny when, Papa Gates started that NFT newsletter, and then he's appearing on Twitter all the time, and, like, I don't think he had an avatar at first. It just said Martin Crowley. I, like, didn't make the connection until he, like, put this AI artwork up, and I'm like, oh, shit, that's Papa Gates.
Why do you think that? Because obviously, like, throughout his DFS career, he was largely anonymous, right? Like some of you guys obviously knew who he was, maybe some live events, but like he did not have a persona to capitalize on his status as a thought leader within the DFS space or whatever. Whereas now with AI, it is like he could have done an anonymous newsletter, right? Like he could just have the name of the newsletter, tweet from that account, stay anonymous, but like he's clearly made a shift to want to be more of a personality or brand within the AI space, which is just interesting. Like, because now I kind of want to envision a world where Martin Crowley is like tweeting out DFS nuggets in like long style threads. Like, I mean, that would have been a very interesting time as well.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you wonder too how he's making his DFS lineups. Is he using AI for those too? Like, is that part of the newsletter? Is like build your DFS lineups with ChatGPT.
Somehow I feel like he wasn't. I think there was two obvious reasons for that, Pete. One was that they got a lot of shit online for collusion. And so keeping a low profile, because I think almost all of us agree, you know, not just on this show, but just in DFS, like broadly, they were not colluding. They were probably sharing some sort of projection system or something,
like a syndicate or something would be how you describe it.
No, that would clearly be illegal.
So
like keeping a low profile makes sense. And then also the second reason why, you know, is because it hurts your edge. which doing this show has hurt my edge. Alex making his own site hurt his edge, you know, so like it clearly does hurt your edge. So why would they do it? And doing an AI newsletter doesn't hurt him in the slightest, but it is a little strange. You're pointing that out, that like he clearly wanted to be known. And so they must have made a conscious effort to like go, we're not doing any fucking shows. We're not doing any content. We're going to make as much money at this possible and get the fuck out.
Alex, I'm sure you've maybe, or maybe you haven't, but have you ever done the like kind of mental back of the napkin math of, you know, my ROI and DFS over this period, had I never made the site first, what you have returned as a site owner, equity owner, what have you? Like, have you surpassed what you could have made in DFS going the DFS entrepreneur route? Is it close? Is it, did you lose money doing that? What do you think?
I have no idea. I feel like I've done well enough in DFS between being part of a site and playing that I'm just kind of like happy with how it turned out. I do feel like DFS is kind of slowly winding down in favor of sports betting in a lot of ways. So I'm not like seeing this as a forever thing, but I'm still enjoying it now. So I've been still focusing more on DFS.
I guess It's nice because you can, it would all be to like quantifying the amount you lost having given that up, where at least you were still able to play. You were still able to make money playing DFS and having a content site. It didn't have to be mutually exclusive. I guess you would have had to have been giving away a ton to justify not going the entrepreneur route.
Well, I feel like, there's so many variables. I mean, I learned a lot from my colleagues at Osmo and Stochastic. So it's hard to say like how well I would have done if I hadn't joined up with them. And then with the business, like I feel like if you think there's a lot of volatility in DFS, like the volatility in like small business is insane, where it's like someone could drop out of the woodwork and offer you unfathomable amounts of money for your company. And I think like it's all a big gamble.
Yeah.
What do you think? Go ahead and ask that.
Oh, I was just going to pull up this comment from Nerdy Tenor that if Stochastic didn't exist, the whole ecosystem might be smaller, which is like an interesting, you know, butterfly effect thought experiment of like, certainly DFS would be here, but to what extent it would be, I think, is an interesting question.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Like, all we can do is speculate, but I feel like if there's like an inefficiency in like you can make money doing this, it's like giving more people the ability to do that. It's like it builds the prize pools up to a certain extent, but then like eventually you're limited by the amount of money like flowing into the ecosystem. So I think that's kind of what's happening now, is there aren't as many people just depositing a ton of money on DraftKings and donking it off. So there are, they're just going to sportsbook.
Yeah. They don't advertise enough. That it's not like that big ad boom, you know, and sports betting has hurt a bit probably too, but like they're not pumping it like they used to. I think there could be like a poker style comeback maybe eventually. It's possible. And if they, you know, they're not aggressive with the contest sizing. There's not as much overlay. Their reward system's lower. They're not lowering rake. They're raising rake. You know, all these things affect it. If they just adjust all those, I don't think they would even need a big marketing push, because like let's say you put 1,000 into the PGA today, like you're already down $200 basically. You know, before you probably wouldn't have been down. It would have been like 145. Or, you know, 190 or something. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but it actually is huge, especially as everything gets, the competition gets closer. I did have a comment or question about what Alex was saying about when he started the business, because you got that kind of like in the back of your mind, it's like, yeah, if I start this, I can also maybe 500x my money, you know, 500x my time. You know, people buy businesses all the time for, you know, how much did Bales get? How much did, you know, Taylor Cabey get for, you know, and all this stuff crosses your mind. What do you think now? Because we were talking about this, how we want to handle our new company, and this is behind the scenes stuff, but like, who cares? Is like, my thoughts were, I don't think there's really any real chance of a DFS company starting out that's going to like sell for $20 million in 3 years or something. Like, I think that's like a super long shot. There's no market for it anymore. It doesn't make any sense. There's less competition. And like, who would buy it? You know, who's going to buy it? Like Stochastic, maybe, you know what I mean? Like, that's like it, you know, like, and I doubt they're looking to do this, you know, you don't have to comment on that at all, but like, you know, like, who's going to buy Stochastic even anymore? You know, like, do you have any thoughts on that? If you feel like talking about it?
Oh, I know there's always interested parties, but I don't want to talk too much.
Oh, that's right. I wish you weren't directly involved, but I would, cause I'm interested, like, who would buy, you know, ETR, like Pete, let's speculate on this without him, you know, like Barstool. No, maybe.
Right. Because I think the path for DFS, right, is because like, you're not going to buy content. You're not buying shows. You're not buying articles. Like, I mean, talk about AI, you know, swallowing stuff up. It would be for like really interesting tools that I think you could fold or repurpose into other things. You know, so whether it is like, I'm just trying to, obviously, like, sports betting is the easy one. Like, how do you take like a DFS optimizer and turn it into a sports betting optimizer or whatever? Like that kind of like logic leap, I think you'd have to have really sick tools. And someone was like, I want to acquire that suite and back end technology and like embed it into what I do as an additional value add for my larger company.
And who do you think out there? ESPN, Barstool. You know, is like, what group? I guess there's probably some weird groups out there that I don't know that own, you know, some European groups that own a bunch of casinos or something. Who knows? That would want to get a DFS content site for their users or something. But I don't know. Like, I should have rephrased that. I feel like Stochastic can be purchased, you know, ETR probably too, you know. Even RPS, but like, I think if you're starting out now, I wouldn't even run my company like that. I would not be thinking, this is what we're going to sell in 5 years for $50 million, and we got to think ahead like this. Like, no, don't do that, bro.
And we've talked about it on the show. Like, one of the biggest value adds within like DFS sites, or what helps make them profitable, is the community element. And again, like, people aren't buying communities, you know, like, someone might buy Barstool because they have a community that they can then target like advertisers onto, but I don't think anyone's buying a DFS site to get access to advertising to their subs. You know, I don't know if it's robust enough to justify a big purchase like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're all basically kind of in agreement there.
Well, what how about this? How about to like really open our third eye? Like, you think of, you know, Pro Football Focus, they sell a lot of their data directly to NFL teams. Like, what if there was some crossover with like sim play-by-play level data, or like, hey, we can show you how these variables change range of outcomes based if you put an extra defender in the box, like basically simulated stuff that was used for DFS that could maybe push in-house NFL analytics further.
Yeah. Maybe. I feel like there's such a resistance in the sports world to like analytics. It's like there's so many companies that like would benefit a ton from having acquisition of a DFS people, just like working with people that really are knowledgeable about it. Like, one of the obvious ones to me is like a sports book. I feel like there's so many sports books that they're all focused on the customer acquisition angle and not actually about being good at sports betting. Basically what they are is they're like a head-to-head opponent for all these gamblers. So it's like, I've always felt I could really make a ton of money on the sportsbook side helping with that, but I'm pretty hesitant to try to embark that direction because it's like in opposition to the whole community. So one of the things that's exciting about DFS is that you can all kind of winning and like I guess it like takes away one person being better, like there's a little bit less to win for another person, but it's not as oppositional as sportsbook where it's just like operator versus customer.
We got the legend baseballs in the chat. Stochastic/Smart Dating Academy crossover and use sim tools to find DFS bros a wife like Alex did. There you go. That's the next frontier.
So match.com by Stochastic next week.
That's right. Or maybe, yeah, maybe it is something where it's like, there is a giant dating company, right? Whatever. Maybe it's eHarmony and they purchase both a DFS. It's like buying the all boys school and then whatever, like the girls equivalent is. And then they like bring those two together and play matchmaker across the two different communities. that could work there.
I like that.
I was thinking more like ratings, a rating system, you know, on Tinder. It's like this guy's, you know, this guy's a 6.7 based on you know, all these metrics.
Yeah. And the girl's like, I just don't see it. And he's like, I have the Sims in my head. I don't know what you want me to tell you.
they're really underrepresenting no ball knowers right now in the algo.
That's right. Alex, last time we talked, you were starting to get into, speaking of like analytics and crossovers with pro sports, some pro table tennis stuff. Where are you at with that these days?
Yeah, I'm still involved. It's just kind of a hobby, but I'm helping out the coach of the Chicago Wind because he's someone I know from playing table tennis in Chicago. And we had a season that wasn't so successful the first season, but the draft is coming up next week. So we've been all just focused on how do we get ready for that. And I think it could be a pretty good season next year. The one thing about MLTT, though, there's not betting for it yet. So I think table tennis would be a great sport to bet because, like, it happens at such a fast pace. But for some reason, they just haven't prioritized it yet. So they're not on any of the sports books.
So what are they betting on in Colorado?
Yeah, what's this tweet? Let me pull
this up.
It's all,
like, Asian and, like, Russian.
It's all
Russian
foreign.
Table tennis is really popular.
That's insane.
I don't understand it either. Like, it seems so suspicious to me.
And what is nerdy? What is going on with you people in Colorado? You're degenerating late night table tennis.
For the audio listeners, there was a tweet from David Purdom, the ESPN betting columnist writer. It says 14.1 million was bet on table tennis in March. With Colorado sports books there. Just a massive handle there for, but maybe you're right, Alex. This is you're skating to where the puck is going to be, that there's going to be, you know, nationwide interest in betting on this sport.
Honestly, like have you guys watched table tennis before? Like yeah. I'm pretty like bearish highlights. On it as a sport that's gonna take off. Like, but I enjoy it myself. So this is more a passion of just enjoying table tennis than any business opportunity. But like the thing about table tennis that's weird is like I feel like the equipment they use like makes it such a like less interesting game because they like use all these like high-tech rubbers to like generate a ton of spin, and then like because there's so much spin the quality of the play is just not that interesting because like it's like so much spin that like even the pros like can't really do that much, and then the points are over really quick.
So what they need is like the equivalent of a humidor to put these things into to normalize the production. Exactly. I mean, again, just to for people, this 14.1 million. I pulled up the full chart here. So basketball 230 million, NCAA basketball 101 million, tennis 29 million, hockey 22, soccer 21. Then table tennis, higher handle than baseball, golf, and MMA. This feels like a syndicate. Do we need to get like CSU Jennings on the line where it was his group, you know, just blasting table tennis bets this past month? This seems so weird.
Like baseball was out of season at least, but golf and MMA and motorsports, let's not like forget about NASCAR, which like this is one of their biggest times of year and no one's betting on it. So I think this was from March, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, like, isn't Daytona in February? And then, how does no one bet on NASCAR?
It's crazy. It's crazy. Also, some of the retail numbers are funny to me. I guess I don't even know how many brick and mortar casinos, but only $3,000 in retail motorsports bet.
I got a question. Yeah. So we have an expert here. But the first is for both of you. The original video game that had, you know, two paddles and the ball going across. What was that called?
Pong.
Pong. I had a table growing up. I played ping pong. What is that, a Midwest thing? Why does no one call it ping pong?
No, people call it ping pong.
No, the video game is pong. The real life game is ping pong.
Ping pong is the casual terminology. I don't think anyone serious would call it that. Yeah.
But I knew it was pong, chat. I knew it. I was leading them down the primrose path. Why is it called table tennis?
Me and my buddies are like, let's play some pong. We don't say
ping. Yeah. I mean, you grew up in the Midwest too, but like, is it on the East Coast or West Coast? Does everyone say table tennis?
I've never heard anyone say it. Although if there were a group, I would kind of picture Alex and his analytically inclined ping pong friends to say, "So, a game of table tennis later this afternoon." You said the draft coming up. Are you doing prospect analysis for the draft? Like, are you crunching numbers on like serve velocity and feeding these numbers to the GM?
He's like more of a expert on the players than I am, but I'm more of just like roster construction, because there are certain like constraints. Like, you have to have a woman playing singles each week. You have to have two U.S.
Cover your ears, Harrison Butker. You are not going to like that rule.
Yeah, so
I think like I know why this team is failing.
Like, all the best players are foreign dudes, and like all the Americans aren't up to speed, which is kind of a reason why the league exists in the first place. Is the owner like wants there to be more success of Americans in table tennis, because right now, because there's no way to like monetize it, they just go to college and then move on to other sports instead of trying to become a pro.
Do you think it's because like you have table tennis tryouts and like people are like, what is table tennis? You know, if it was ping pong, you'd probably get more people.
That is a good point.
Hearing what you just described, to me this would be the perfect presidential debate question for Trump and Biden. You tell them like, this is what's happening, all the foreigners are dominating our ping pong, and Trump's like, we need to make table tennis great again, get more of the whites out there, we don't need the female. I think I need to see that on the debate stage.
How do we ask questions?
I don't know. Well, wasn't a fantasy football question asked one time? Didn't like Jeb Bush field a fantasy football question at one of the debates?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was 2016. There was one. I can't remember.
Cause it was hot off the heels of all the like FanDuel and DraftKings advertising, I think.
It sure was.
Bad.
That was 2016. I think you're right.
Yeah, man. That seems like such a long time ago, thinking about that blitz of advertising for DFS. I mean, if DraftKings and FanDuel decided to do that again, like you were talking about how there aren't a lot of people who are just depositing on the sites to donk it off, it would be interesting to know like how many new people could they get in if they get the deposit matches going, like they get the full blitz going on TV. I mean, I wonder how possible it would be just by sheer will of dollars to get people on the site.
Yeah, I think there are certain states that they are advertising, probably like California, where like betting's not legal. So like I think their whole business model is to attract players to DFS and then get them to play sportsbook once it becomes legal in their state. So I'm not familiar, like, personally, but I have to imagine they're like going hard in California because that's going to be the next battleground in betting.
What for like stochastic and stuff? Have you like what kind of other advertising models have you guys experimented with other than tweeting out screenshots when you win? Like what other ways could you get people to sign up for your DFS site?
Well, we tried getting Bachelor Nation involved, and that didn't seem to move the needle a ton. So, yeah, after that, we were more conventional.
That was an attempt. It was a good attempt.
Are you having more success drawing women to Stochastic or to your ping pong team?
Ping pong is actually pretty popular with women compared to DFS, that's for sure. Or it's like DFS, you go to a tournament, and it's like 100% male, where ping pong, probably like 20% of the people in the local club are women.
Well, we have the highest female viewership so far, I think. I posted our numbers online, 5% according to our analytics, which is got to be 3-4 fold everybody else. So you're getting the message out today.
That's fantastic. Yeah. You should have let me know before. I would have shaved.
You're married with a 7-month-old.
I mean, that is that. Does your wife kind of get worried just with you spending so much time down at the table tennis hall, just kind of all the women around there, and just what that could potentially lead to?
I mean, she should be, because ladies that play table tennis, they're a special kind. So.
What was it like at that ping pong bar downtown? Is there like what percentage of girls?
I'd say about 20%. But here's the big problem with ping pong and a bar is like people who play table tennis seriously don't drink. It's like the dumbest thing, man. Like, so it's like people will go and they'll just play table tennis, not order any food or drink. So it's like a terrible business model for these bars to cater to like people that play for real. So
yeah,
they just stopped doing that, and it's just all like casual players that are just there for a bar, I guess. So I actually they don't have a league anymore or anything, so I don't really play anymore.
Yeah, it's hard to drink in, you know, sips in between a ping pong, you know, match back
it's
and
not
forth.
Hard for me, man.
Just holding it up. Yeah, smashing.
Alex, have you ever played like a heads up table tennis / ping pong match for money?
I think I played at one of the Roto Grinders get togethers like back in the day. Like maybe I was hanging out with Evan Silva and Sean Zahn and Steve Boynton, and we were going to play like for money, but like once we got down to the bar and actually played a little bit to just practice, the idea kind of disintegrated pretty fast.
They got scared?
Yeah. You didn't sandbag it? Come on.
Thing is, I was like 6 beers deep, so I could barely hit the ball, but Sean Zahn was like the ringer.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're saying, or maybe you're just trying to drum up action right now, but you're saying you're not that good, or at least six beers deep?
I'm not in good form, and here's the other thing that's annoying about table tennis is like, okay, like the way we always end up playing is we're just out at the bars drinking a bunch of beers, and we're like, oh, let's go swing by, spin, and play some table tennis, but like none of us have our equipment, and like adjusting the new table tennis paddle is like, it takes a lot of time, and being really drunk doesn't help, so... Like, I'll just be doing my normal thing, and then the ball will just, like, do nothing.
Like, Sean's like a cheat code for your team. You just get the Asian American guy, and then you're right back in it.
For sure.
Is that it, or do they have to – I mean, they can't believe they have to be white, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, table tennis is more popular in the – Asian.
I mean, the rules for this table tennis league where they're trying to attract American talent. I mean,
well, the funny thing is like half the foreign players are from Asia and half are from Europe. So like you have people flying in from all over the world to like play in like Daytona, and there's like 300 fans. It's really like bizarre, but yeah, like the East versus West angle is something that materializes a little bit because they're different styles.
I think this is all coming together for me now because we wanted, you know, for you to have a DFS beef. We need more attention and limelight and rivalries in the DFS world. Like I'm envisioning some kind of live streamed event, you know, head to head. I know Bales loves to play some ping pong. I know those ETR guys love to play some ping pong. I think, you know, some kind of drinking high stakes live streamed ping pong match, kind of like the Bales push-up challenge. I don't know. I think there's something there.
I feel like there should be some sort of like beer pong / ping pong. Like, have you guys ever heard of chess boxing?
I think I did see a story about this. Did we talk about it on the show once?
So,
tell us about it.
Is like if you don't checkmate someone, you like do a boxing round and then you go back to chess. If you get checkmated or you get knocked out, you lose. So I think like something similar with beer pong and ping pong could be fun.
That sounds like the worst sport ever.
Which one?
Well, it's perfect because like all the dudes who play chess professionally are all nerds. So actually, I don't know. Do you guys follow chess at all? Like the number one guy is Magnus Carlsen, and he's not a nerd. So I like really respect him for like crushing all these nerds at their own game. Like,
what do you mean he's not a nerd?
Yeah, he's a nerd.
What do you mean he's not a nerd, Alex?
He's like ripped. I don't know. He doesn't look like a nerd.
Okay. I didn't know he was ripped. But I think you can still be shredded and a nerd, I guess.
Okay.
Do I need to Google Magnus Carlsen shirtless? Like, how am I proving that this guy is
I think you have ripped to.
I mean, I'll do it.
But the chess boxing thing, like, if you're a professional boxer, you just stall during the chess part and then beat the crap out of them. Like it doesn't seem. It seems like you've got to really be careful about the boxing part.
All right, I believe you. That's a nice figure there. This is the guy. Did he come up with chess boxing? Was he the one I will crush you in chess and then chess also boxing, beat your face?
I'm not sure. This is I like this comment in chat. We're trying to get the 6%, ladies.
Yeah, this should help. This should help.
No, we just got to do that with DFS.
Yeah, I just want to know
if we could break the 5% threshold. It's unheard of.
The real question, Alex, is how did you know he looked like this? Because someone had to Google Magnus Carlsen shirtless in the first place, and it sounds like you might be one of the culprits.
Well, just because I'm a chess fan, I got into it about a year ago, I'd say, and I've been playing a lot, so, and watching tournaments and stuff. So,
what's your rating?
Like my rating's like 1600 on chess.com.
Weak.
Just average. Weak. Thing. Nothing too groundbreaking.
1600.
At least you're more ripped than him, Magnus, I'm assuming.
I'd like to show you guys.
Man,
go for it.
I feel like Magnus is like really missing an opportunity to grow on YouTube and just do like lots of shirtless photos of him just like on the thumbnail, because isn't that how you bring more people into the game? You want to look like this?
Well, the funny thing is like every chess video on YouTube has this guy's picture on it. Like it's the ultimate clickbait. It's just putting Magnus Carlsen on the thumbnail, I guess.
Do you guys think, to switch it up slightly, do you guys think things like chess, guitar, stuff like that, that's hard, but like a lot of people try to do, will like lessen in popularity with AI or no effect or what? You know what I mean? Because I could see just like, what's the point when I can just AI cheat and the best player ever, you know, except in person, but like, who cares? Or like, you know, you can make your own awesome song, you know, in 2 seconds with AI. Why learn to, you know, spend years being proficient at an instrument?
Well, it's interesting because chess and DFS have been having a similar trend where, like, in DFS, there's the sims, and chess, there's, like, these chess bots that are way better than any humans. So, I think It's interesting because we're getting close to like solving a lot of games, like DFS and chess, and then
poker.
Poker is a great example. Poker and DFS are probably the most similar because, I think that's going to be a big challenge for the industry. Is like, how do you balance this like AI machine angle versus people like wanting to play casually and have fun? And I hope the sites can figure it out, because like I don't think that the discourse around poker and DFS and chess is like particularly good and appealing now, where it's like you could be playing against people with like sophisticated software.
Yeah, I think they've shifted into the protect my monopoly mode part of the business adventure. But Pete, what do you think? Do you think AI is going to limit any participation and stuff like that? Or no, I'm crazy.
No, I understand what you're saying. I guess it is like, how are you defining it as, you know, like so many people do those things purely as a hobby, where I don't think they're worrying about like, what's my payoff when I get really good at this? Am I going to have to compete against AI? It seems like a lot of the pushback in those like various industries, like whether that's like creative writing or music, is from established people who are already making money and are worried that their bottom line is going to be impacted, versus like a kid who listens to like Nirvana and is like, I want to play that guitar riff. Like, I don't know if AI is preventing him from taking up guitar as a hobby in that regard.
Sure. I'm thinking when I was younger, like it was tough finding like drummers, right? Cause they need, now you could just, you could use a drum machine live, you know, and it sounds better and good, you know, and like it never messes up, and lots of people do it. Like,
I mean, you watch concerts of artists like the Chainsmokers, where like I saw them, FanDuel had them at a concert in Denver, I think, or it might have been Arizona. But anyway, it was an awesome concert, but they don't play any instruments. They just kind of like have they're like DJs, and they just kind of do a little bit on the DJ table. Mostly it's just entertainment. So
it kind of like just gives a bump to all those electronica, you know, DJ type of guys. Now they can do whatever they want. Yeah. So like, why would they ever learn an instrument? I also think like the rise in like guitar popularity and the guitar prices and stuff like that over the last decade is because it became so easy to like get info on YouTube and learn how to play and stuff like that. You know, I'm like being a little dramatic here. I don't think it's going to have a huge effect, but I just think it's going to have like unforeseen effects, you know, who knows what industries, and it'll be fun. I don't know if that's the right word, to find out, you know, what eventually happens. But like this latest upgrade was pretty good, I feel like, on ChatGPT.
Well, and to your point, Brian, like if you just think about, you know, there's something so analog about, you know, say learning how to play the guitar and then saying you do want to move to a point where you want to record something. And you think about like how much that requires to be able to record and get good sound and all of that versus just making a beat on your computer or something electronic. Like the barrier of entry or to making good electronic music is like a lot lower than making really good guitar based music. And I bet a lot of kids are just like, why would I deal with all this shit? I find this cool and it's really easy and I get an immediate like feedback loop to creating that.
Like if they've been auto-tuning voices for the last 20 years, why wouldn't they just like, I'll just play like three notes and then I'll drag it around and make it go however, and then press the AI to fill out the rest, you know? Like, I don't know. I used to teach guitar when I, you know, before college or like through college, and like a lot of those kids, man, they don't want to practice. So like you give them this extra thing, you know, where they could write songs without ever even having to practice. I don't know. I could see it.
I think some people like, to bring it back to DFS, you know, there are always going to be people who want to hand build, who love the idea of like, I want this stack. I want to play this team. I want to target this matchup. And so the question, I think, back to Alex, that is like, can the ecosystem, can those guys win enough to where they keep coming back? Or do they just get their ass kicked in and the pool evaporates?
For sure. I think that like there's a few different angles. Like one, it could be like tools to help hand builders. Like the Sims are great, but like a lot of it just comes down to playing the best plays and having good lineup construction still. And it's like, it's not that hard to hand build a lineup that's really good. it's hard to hand build 150 lineups that are really good. Yeah. The other thing is just certain formats like golf classic hand builders are a lot more effective because you just have fewer opportunities to make mistakes. Where something like NBA classic is terrible for hand builders. So, I honestly, I'm hoping that draft formats become more popular, like snake drafts, because I feel like that's a much more like fair playing ground for all people, where and I kind of see that as like poker, there's a limitation of you can only play a certain number of tables. DFS, like the problem is everyone can scale their play to like be in every single contest you're in, and that's a bad thing for the ecosystem. So I'm kind of hoping some new formats like snake drafting take off.
Nerdy Tenor thinks he's solved snake drafts, by the way, so I wouldn't hold my breath on that one. I think another thing these sims show, we've talked about it here, is doing like less lineups is pretty easy to get some pretty high ROI, and doing 150 is a lot harder to get 150 good ones than it was, you know, whatever, 3-4 years ago. So definitely just play like it depends on who you are, obviously, like 1 to 20 or something, and you could probably get all of them really good lineups if you know what you're doing. And the other, like being the best 150 or now, is kind of like one sim says one guy's better, the other sim says one guy's better, this sim says, it depends on what you're using to do that. And also projections still matter more than sims. So if you can make your own projections better than the others, you know, you'll do just fine. I just wouldn't 150 unless you know who you are, you know what I mean? Like, you know how to do that, or you have something that other people don't know yet, which is also possible. But like long term, I think it's pretty obvious, man. They got to like lower rake a little bit, market a little bit more, and they should try to lobby Congress to change the rule about having a set max on amount of players and just make it like poker, where anyone can enter. And then occasionally there'd be like a $10 million NFL Sunday, and it would be nice pub for everyone. You know, they would make more money. I think that would be, but I don't think they're doing any of this, unfortunately, but that's what, like, three things I think they could do.
Yeah. Do you guys have to end the show now, or I got an interesting anecdote from poker.
I want to hear it. Yeah.
So like it was probably like 2013 or something. I like had gone to Canada to try to like make a career in online poker. And I was winning at like 0.5 big blinds per 100 over like a month or something. And then I'm like looking at this, I'm like realizing, okay, I'm like basically breaking even, but that means like at half the tables I'm losing money, and at half the tables I'm winning money. So if I just like stop playing those half of tables that I'm losing money, like I'll make way more money. And then I did that, and like my results like went up a ton. So like, DFS is kind of the same problem, where like the rake is potentially insurmountable, and it's like, I'm like Brian saying, like the site could make tweaks to make that more sustainable. They don't have a ton of incentive to do that now, but it's all kind of game selection, where knowing the right slates to target, the right game types and stuff like that. That's definitely what you can do now, but it is getting a lot tougher.
Well, and we talk about that a lot with sports betting, right? Like, or game types, people want to play the most popular ones because that's where there's the most content. It's the most fun. They're the most familiar. And yet if you really want an edge, you got to go into those other places where there isn't much, you know, surface area or whatever. But that's not as fun for a lot of people. And then you just have to be like, all right, then look in the mirror and be honest with yourself. Are you playing for fun? Or are you going to try to seek out an ROI somewhere?
Right. Exactly. I think a lot of the smaller DFS sites probably are a lot softer now. So,
there's not enough of them.
Yeah, but even between DraftKings and FanDuel, like I feel like there's a big disparity in how profitable they each were, at least in my history. So, like, even something small, like switching sites, that can make a big difference.
For sure.
Definitely. Yeah, I miss fantasy draft too. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no. I was going to say thank you to Alex for joining us today. Anything else you'd like to plug other than your table tennis empire that you're building right now?
Honestly, no, I'm not like doing anything to plug. So, if you guys can like my tweets, I'd appreciate that.
Yeah. Davis keeps talking about how he's getting shadow banned these days. The algo's working against him. It's tough out here for the engagement farmers. So your fellow influencers posts.
I just signed up for their like monetization. I got paid $179 for my tweets from January to now. So
did you really? $179? That's pretty good.
Hey, can you monetize?
Yeah. I haven't.
Oh, why not?
I guess I should.
Yeah. Why not?
Did you have any bangers? Did you have some that popped off, or was it just a steady drip?
I found that people really like dumb bets. So like I had a couple where it was like -20,000 and I'd bet and people like cannot wrap their heads around that. But it's like from a math standpoint, if like even if you don't know it, there's if you assume there's no edge, you're still only losing like 0.5% of your money because the amount of times you lose is so low.
So you're saying you're using math and sneakily plus EV bets to bait people into engaging with what they assume to be just the worst bets of all time?
No, they're not plus EV. The only way they're plus EV is from the engagement.
There you go. Hey, if you're making it back. All right, there you go.
$179, that's covered my EV.
It's more than I've ever made on Twitter, so touche. Brian, anything else for you? Any updates from the mafia?
Well, no, we're still just taking people's emails, so when we go live, you know. I'm going to put the URL in chat here. It doesn't even look like I can, Pete. You have to.
I got you. The in-game syndicate.com, right?
Yeah, you got it. And there's NFL schedules out.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's funny how big NFL is that's like the thing on Twitter right now is the NFL schedule, not MLB tonight.
The NFL Twitter is going nuts. So the Bears are playing in Detroit on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be fun.
And to Brian's point, the draft caddy is up to date. I actually just refreshed. I'm not in a draft right now, obviously, but you can see on the rankings page, I got my week 16 and week 17 matchups here. And we're actually going to draft over on Ship Chasing here in about 25 minutes if you want to join us over there. But this will be my first time with the updated draft caddy, the week 16, week 17 matchups there. And there's all kinds of different things. I'm just using this as the dropdown. Like once I get some more drafts, I'll add my exposures as another thing to show there. And basically any information you want, Brian has some preloaded things that make it easy. But if you want to customize and upload your own, you know, Excel sheet and reference your own columns or data, what is there, up to 3 columns, Brian, you can play with?
Yeah, up to 3. After you get to that, it's too like cloud, you know, convoluted.
Yeah.
You know, the obvious one, I think, Pete, is the new ownership everyone's doing. Like Leg Up's doing ownership, I think. They're doing ownership, right? Like
I think they'll end up. ETR is gonna have their
ETR has it, yeah.
Yeah.
And then somebody had a free one I saw Neil tweeted out. Okay. So there seems like there's no point in me doing mine, but that would be something I'd definitely probably overlay. I also Pete did a little strength of the schedule, playoff strength of schedule. That's on there too that you can overlay in week 15. For anyone who's interested in that stuff. And then I'm going to do my my playoff adjustment thing last year that we talked about. Didn't really take off. People didn't really care. I thought it was pretty sharp that it's really – because, like, yeah, of course the Chiefs are good in Week 17 because the Chiefs score a lot of points. But what's the spread for that game compared to their regular season spread?
I like
are they projected to score more than normal? Because everyone knows the Chiefs are good. I don't even know if those lines are out yet with this. So I would assume
they are, because I've already seen someone ran. I can send you the sheet. Although
that'd be perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll add that. I don't know. I think that's kind of a cool adjustment, but we'll see.
Alex, two questions to end the show on. Very simple, one or the other. First off, week 16 or week 17? Which one matters more?
You have to read my old articles on basketball, but I did the math, and I think week 17 was it was like 50% more important than week 16, but it all depends on the structure.
Yeah, the payouts are way, way flatter this year, so it seems like the pendulum. Yeah, I would love if you get a chance, because I remember you had written a really cool article a couple years ago that you said then you refreshed and then got circulated more, looking at the benefits of three quarterbacks. And so I would love if you did some best ball data research. And then, of course, the final question, and Paul reminded me of this at the very beginning of the show. He says that you've been on the show 5 times and yet you have not voted in the Run Pure Sports versus Ship It Nation debate. Can we get a proper vote from one Mr. Alex Baker?
Oh man. Flip a coin. Like it's they're both amazing and like the guys involved. So it's hard to really take a side.
I mean, Big T was on a TV show with you.
Yeah. Yeah, but ever since then, he's pretended like I don't exist, so.
Oh, shit.
Oh, he big-timed you.
No, I'm like Ship It Nation, just doesn't want to admit it.
But, yeah, I was actually thinking about that show today. I was like, someone should start a brand, Little Goats, and it's like kids' clothing. Because, like, if you want to talk about range of outcomes, I feel like being a parent now, it's like you see this kid that's like, a blank slate. It's like this guy could be like the range of outcomes is far greater than any GPP, you know.
There you go. All right, I guess we're not going to get a concrete answer. You could flip a coin and tell us just so we could have a vote registered for you here.
I got a coin right in front of me.
Okay
you guys say what's heads, what's tails.
Heads.
Okay,
is...
let's see it, Brian.
I flipped it already. It's tails.
Okay, Run Pure Sports then.
All right, Run Pure Sports. Mark it down, Paul. Yeah, we did our best, Casey. We got it. We got him down
in
the RPS.
We got it.
All right, check out the draftcaddy.com, ingamesyndicate.com. I'm going to be over at Ship Chasing here in 20 minutes doing a draft if you want to scratch that best ball itch, my first draft post schedule. Thanks again to Alex. Thanks to you guys for hanging out. This is Lulz here every Thursday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll see you guys next time.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.